You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how you doing?
Jeff, I'm doing pretty good, and we got a lot to talk about, so that's always a good thing for us.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot happened over the weekend. You know, nothing as major as trading for Mike Trout like I predicted, but, you know, plenty happened, and then we had the interview with Tommy Canley for yesterday's episode, so we've got like 4 days worth of stuff to talk about. So we're going to talk about people who didn't sign with the Dodgers, people who got traded to the Padres, people who had babies, people who might be on the Dodgers backup lists, people who didn't settle before arbitration, and so much. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, I guess let's first start with the news that DJ LeMahieu is officially not going to be signing with the Dodgers. He re-signed with the Yankees on Friday, I believe. Corey Kluber also signed with the Yankees that day. So it was a big day for the Yankees. I got to be honest, and this is going to sound like I'm just saying that, but the last day or two before LeMahieu re-signed with the Yankees, I was looking over it again, and I had kind of talked myself out of wanting LeMahieu anyway. I was looking at his career and realizing that he's really only had 3 good seasons in his career, and I'm not sure that I'm convinced he's going to be good for another 4 more years, let alone the 6th that the Yankees signed him for. But I don't know, am I rationalizing, Vince?
I mean, if 2 of those 3 seasons were in the last 3, or 2 of those 3 seasons were the last 2 years, and maybe rationalizing a little bit, I talked myself into it being a actual possibility of happening. But realistically, it just felt like, you know, LeMahieu was trying to get the Yankees to pony up. The Dodgers reportedly, I think I saw somewhere, had a 4-year, maybe $60 million range there. So same AAV, less years. Yankee gave them 6 years, $90 million. And honestly, the Yankees, in order to get the AAV down and luxury tax purposes, I mean, they might just be thinking of it as a 4-year deal anyways. They may cut him and pay him to not play for them or trade him the last 2 years if he's not good anyways.
Yeah, apparently the Blue Jays had offered him 4 and 78, so they had the highest average annual value. But at LeMahieu's age, I think he was just going for the max dollars because he's not expecting to get another contract in his career, whether this one's for 4 or 6 years. So along those same lines, you know, that does seemingly make it more likely that the Dodgers re-sign Justin Turner, which we've kind of all been expecting anyway. But there was a report this weekend that on their list of potential backup plans, if they don't re-sign JT, Marcus Semien was on the list. And a little bit surprising to me, not a ton, but I don't know, Vince, were you surprised by that?
I mean, when you look at it, not surprised. He has played third and second base before. He has played shortstop. You know, he's only 30 years old, and whoever the Dodgers are signing, they're not counting on him to be a significant part of the offense. But Semien is more in the mold of, you can talk yourself out of it pretty quick. I mean, he's really only had one really good standout year, and that was 2019 when he finished third in MVP voting, had an .892 OPS. But other than that, he's never had a year with an OPS plus over 100 or an OPS over 735. So, yeah, I'm not... If he's the guy that's going to come in and be a Kike Hernandez type, then yeah, that's fine. I don't know how good he is defensively, but if he's a guy for them to expect to come in and be an everyday third baseman type, I'm not 100% sold on that.
Yeah, realistic. I mean, he's only played, for all intents and purposes, he's only played shortstop in his career. In the last 6 years, he's just been a shortstop, and he's been, for the most part, a good defensive shortstop. He wasn't last year, but it's hard to tell in a shortened season how much of that is just a small sample size. But like you said, he's only been good 1 year, and he doesn't really... It seems like if they signed him, it would be with plans to move Seager to third, and that doesn't seem likely. But neither... Semien doesn't have the offense to be a third baseman unless he... Unless the 2019 version of him is the real version. But like you said, we've only seen it once. So put a big no next to me in the do you want Marcus Semien survey, because that's not doing it for me.
The one thing with the Dodgers is they have played guys at different positions and are comfortable moving guys around and asking guys to move around. So if Semien can maybe play for the Dodgers and say, hey, we need you to play third and second as in addition to shortstop occasionally, he might be down for that rather than go play shortstop every day for a bad team.
Yeah, possibly. One other rumor that popped up, maybe only a semi-rumor, Jeremy Jeffress, there was a report on a list of teams that are interested in him, and the Dodgers were on that list. Jeffress most recently with the Brewers. I think maybe most notable in Dodger fans' minds as the guy who gave up the home run to Justin Turner in game two of the 2018 NLCS, late inning home run, right? Was that Jeffers who gave that up?
Yep, and said that it was luck.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But he has had some success out of the bullpen in the past. He would be a different type of pitcher than what the Dodgers have, maybe provide a little bit different look, but he was really good for the Cubs in the shortened season after being really bad for the Brewers the year before. So he's really been up and down in his career, and it might be a low risk if the contract was right. He could be a low risk option for the bullpen, but doesn't seem like a big needle mover to me.
Yeah, I don't think so. And with that 10 teams listed with some level of interest, obviously some level of interest could be, hey, we've called this guy, or hey, we've actually talked to him, whatever it is. But for the Dodgers, I think it makes it a little bit less likely if there's that many teams interested. The Dodgers don't have a reason to outbid anyone for him. And I don't think he's a guy that you're putting a lot of stock into. So I'm fine with them not getting him. Although, at this point, if they can get him to maybe a minor league deal or a very cheap major league deal, then I'm down to take flyers on a bunch of guys like they've been doing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we will come back in a minute. We've got news to talk about. Somebody the Padres got, Dodger news, and some news about a guy who doesn't currently have a team. So keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, it's NFL playoff time. We're a couple rounds in. I think we're going to the conference championship games. And if you are looking to bet on football, I'll tell you what, you need to go to betonline.ag. It's the only place that has you covered and the only place we trust, betonline.ag. If you sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag, just use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. So you've got the NFL games this weekend, and then the Super Bowl a couple weeks after that. You got NBA regular season, you got NHL, any sports you want to bet on, betonline.ag is the way to go. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also talk about rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is an online auto parts dealer. They have all the parts that you could find at a brick-and-mortar auto parts store, plus a ton more because those stores can't stock everything, and RockAuto.com can. They have everything you need regardless of what kind of car you have. You just go to their easy-to-use website, search up your model of car, and it will show you everything that's available for your car. And the best part is, well, two best parts. You don't have to go down to the auto parts store because, ew, who wants to do that? And also, you're going to pay less because Rock Auto doesn't charge more for average Joes like us than they do for mechanics. They charge the same low price for everybody. They're a family-owned business. They know how to take care of their customers. It's easy to buy parts. It's easy to return parts if you get the wrong thing. Everything about it is easier than going to the auto parts store and less gross. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need, Rock Auto. Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Vince, let's talk about the Dodgers some more. First, I guess, let's talk about a former Dodger, probably not a future Dodger. Kike Hernandez's wife had their baby, and it's adorable. It's always adorable to see first-time dads with their babies. I haven't seen yet if there is a picture of him changing his first diaper, because every dad in the history of the world has looked awkward changing his first diaper. Maybe Kike has nieces or nephews or something that he's changed, but I know I didn't even feel awkward the first time I changed a diaper, but my wife took a picture of it, and boy, do I look awkward. So, but cute baby.
Yeah, it's still a Dodger baby, considering that it was conceived when he was a Dodger. So we're going to take this as a win and another Dodger baby in the world.
So we're not getting political, but at least as far as Dodgers are concerned, life begins at conception, Vince. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, good. Let's talk about a brand new Padre. The Padres traded. They were involved in a three-team trade with the Mets and the Pirates, in which the Padres got Joe Musgrove. And the major leaguer the Padres gave up was that goofy left-handed guy whose name I can't remember right now. What's his name?
Lucchese.
Joey Lucchese, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, there's a part of me that would rather face Joe Musgrove a few times a year than Joey Lucchese, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, the Dodgers do have a lot of left-handers in their lineup, but they do tend to struggle against left-handers, especially that ones that aren't that good that are on the Padres. And I think they got to Lucchese maybe a couple times recently. But either way, yeah, I'd much rather face Musgrove. He had a really good year last year. And even in that really good year comparative for him, he still had a 3.86 ERA and a 3.42 FIP in the NL and AL Central, where we saw a lot of guys have great success because there wasn't that many good teams. And Musgrove has kind of been hyped up just because he's one of the starting pitchers that's available for trade. The Padres gave up, five players in total, four prospects and Lucchese. So it begs the question that everyone's asking, is Dinelson Lamet actually hurt, or are they concerned, or are they just trying to go maybe a Dodgers type route where having the more just have a lot of talent, because with injuries and other things and everything else, you're going to need a lot of guys, and it's good for them. I'm not necessarily scared of Joe Musgrove. If the Dodgers do re-sign Jock Peterson, I believe he'll be very happy about the deal.
Yeah. Yeah, Jock Peterson has had some luck against Joe Musgrove in the past. And in 2019, last time Musgrove faced the Dodgers, he faced them twice, and he allowed 9 runs in 11 and two-thirds innings. So, yeah, the Dodgers aren't really afraid of Musgrove. He is a solid pitcher. I think a lot of it goes back to what we were talking about a week or two ago, though, Vince, that it's a lot easier to upgrade a team when you start at the level of the Padres, even though the Padres were very good last year. But it's a lot harder to upgrade the Dodgers because, like, you look at Joe Musgrove, I don't know if he would crack the Dodgers rotation. He's more proven, maybe, than some of the Dodgers' options, but I don't think he's better than – I don't think he would be one of the Dodgers' top five starters just on pure talent and skill. And, the same thing – I mean, Blake Snell might be the Dodgers' number four starter or something. It's really hard to upgrade a team like the Dodgers.
Padres really had nowhere to go but up in the rotation, especially with Clevinger out for next year. And here's the thing with the Padres for me right now, is they need everything to go right in order for them to take the Dodgers down, and at least in the division. But now they're building to a point where they don't necessarily need everything to go right. They just need a few guys to go right and a few guys to step up, which is what the Dodgers have had in recent years, where, you know, even last year, Max Muncy, Cody Bellinger weren't up to what they can be, and the Dodgers still had the most wins in the league because other guys stepped up. AJ Pollock had a really good year, and Seager came up and was MVP candidate type that he had been his rookie year. So I think the Padres are building to the point where they have enough talent to where they can get away with a couple things not working out when a couple other things are probably going to work out. So it's good for everyone in the division, at least the Dodgers, to have some competition. I think it'll keep it fresh, especially for a team coming off a World Series win. Occasionally in the past, it's happened where it seems teams aren't as, you know, competitive every single night, and maybe this is something that keeps them that way.
Yeah, and the Padres are definitely a favorite to make the postseason. I still don't, you know, there are some projection systems that have them finishing only a game or two behind the Dodgers. But the interesting thing about those is those projections are based on the Dodgers not even having a third baseman. You know, so the Dodgers haven't made their moves yet. They haven't signed a third baseman. And so once they, assuming they don't stand pat, you know, obviously if Edwin Rios goes into the season as the Dodgers starting third baseman, maybe that does make it the Dodgers only a game or two better than the Padres. But even then, like you said, counting on all of their guys, I don't believe Will Myers is a good hitter. I know it was one season, but I'm going to have to see that for more than 1 year. That other dude, the guy whose name Oral Hershiser can't pronounce, and I can't even remember right now, the rookie dude, he, you know, I think he's a good player. What's his name? Jake Cronenworth.
Cronenworth?
Yeah. I think he's a good player, but he wouldn't be the first guy ever to have a sophomore slump if he does, you know? And so, like you said, a lot of guys need to repeat their performances in order for the Padres to have a chance at knocking off the Dodgers.
Yeah, and also MLB released a list of best bullpens, and the Padres were number 3. The Dodgers were number 8, which Dodgers being number 8 doesn't bother me. You know, the Dodgers have a couple guys that I still need to prove, and we don't know what they're going to get out of Jensen. But the Padres being number 3 without a closer or really any defined arm is kind of wild.
Yeah, it's a... I know a lot of people enjoy getting fired up about that stuff. And for me, that's one of those things I just kind of smile at and sit back. And it's like, you know, great. Give the Padres all the hype you want. I would much rather have a team that performs than a team that gets hyped up. And, you know, so that's what I'm counting on for the Dodgers is that performance. All right. Last thing we're going to talk about. Friday was the deadline, as we talked about on Friday's episode, the deadline to exchange arbitration numbers, and the Dodgers settled with almost everybody, but Austin Barnes and Walker Buehler both did not reach a settlement, and so as of right now, it appears they're going to arbitration. Last year, the Dodgers had this situation with Max Muncy and Chris Taylor, ended up signing them both to extensions that basically just bought out their arbitration years for the most part, and so I'm interested to see what happens with Barnes, but mostly with Buehler. You know, I could see them going either way with Barnes, wanting to keep him around and maybe not. But with Buehler, this is his first of 4 arbitration years. And so I'm interested to see if they do try to work out a 4-year deal with him, at least to lock down the arbitration years. He's not a Boris client, and even a Boris client, I think, might be willing to lock down the arbitration years as long as it was a fair deal. But I don't know. Vince, do you think Buehler's going to arbitration?
I don't think so. First of 4 years with arbitration, I don't think you want to go with a guy like Walker Buehler. And, you know, just based on the fact of the facts that could be presented and his slow start and the blister last year. And, you know, you just don't ever want to go your team to go to arbitration. So I believe they'll settle. But I do think that Buehler is a nice candidate for an extension or not even an extension. Like I said, buy out the 4 years and give him a little bit of stability. And you know, he's the guy. And even if he struggles in the regular season but continues to give you those playoff performances, that's worth the money that they would probably have to give him anyways. And then when it comes to Barnes, it seems like a candidate in the Taylor or Muncy thing where they give him maybe a 2-year deal and get an extra year out of him. The pitching staff really likes him. I would hope that he can pass it along or that they, you know, really focus on the fact that Will Smith needs to be the guy. That way he's starting in the postseason. But with the DH probably coming and the Dodgers being able to get away with it, depending how they go with their roster, you know, Barnes starting at catcher and Will Smith playing DH, or even, you know, third base, as we mentioned before, another position is very possible. So we'll see where it goes. But I think Barnes at this point, you know, I don't know if they'll ever have Kaber and Will Smith as their two catchers in the major leagues over a full season. You got to imagine they'd want Will Smith and Barnes, and then Kaber's going to be a guy who maybe they use to get whatever they're missing at the deadline.
Yeah, Kaber seems like trade bait at some point to me. Yeah, so hopefully they don't burn any bridges there with Buehler, but I have a lot of trust in this front office, and I think they know better than we do the perils of going to arbitration with a guy like Buehler. I do think it's possible to do it without burning bridges, but I think they're much better off just not even risking it. So that's it for Dodger news. We'll just touch briefly on the news coming out of New York that Mets GM Jared Porter is under fire for being a slimy, greasy dirtbag. Basically, he harassed a female reporter from another country who doesn't speak much English. He was trying to flirt with her. She thought that he was showing professional courtesy to him, and then he sent her pictures of wieners and other things that guys should never send to anyone. There's a reason they call them private parts, folks. And so chances are the Mets are going to be looking for a new general manager again soon. They haven't officially said that, but they did say that they'll have more to say once they've looked into it more. And it's hard to see Jared Porter keeping his job after this.
The fact that what he did is bad enough to be fired, but the Mets specifically let Carlos Beltran go as a manager last year for things that happened when he was a player and was more so cheating the game of baseball. But this is way beyond the game of baseball. So, you know, the grounds of everything there are there for him to be fired. And you would imagine that it's going to happen. So we'll just wait and see on that. It doesn't necessarily affect the Dodgers currently. I guess potentially in the future it could for other reasons. But yeah, not right now.
Yeah, if the Mets do end up looking for a GM, the Dodgers front office have some guys who might be on the list. So if it comes to that, maybe we'll talk more about that. But for now, just remember, if you are a dude, don't be gross. In fact, if you're a person, don't be a dirtbag. Regardless of who you are, what your position of power is, just don't be an a-hole. Just be nice. All right, you have anything else to say today, Vince?
The last thing, and probably not worth, you know, whole conversation, but the Dodgers signed Eddie Romero to a minor league contract. I believe it had an invite to spring training. Yeah, it does have an invite to spring training. He's a left-hander that hasn't pitched in the majors the last 2 years and wasn't good that year that he did pitch in the majors. But we've seen guys like this sign with the Dodgers and then become something. So just maybe someone to keep an eye on.
Isn't he a former Friedman guy too with the Rays?
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe that's the connection there. Maybe Friedman knows something about him that we don't. So, yeah, something to keep an eye on. He did strike out Fernando Tatis looking in the winter league this year. So, you know, we can pin our hopes and dreams on that.
There you go.
All right, that'll wrap it up for today. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, please subscribe there. That helps other people find us. If you're not listening every day, if everybody who ever listens to this show would just add one more time per week, that would do wonders for us. So if you listen once a week, just start listening twice a week. If you listen five times a week, just download them again. Listen 10 times a week. It's okay. You know, whatever you want to do to help us out, that would be awesome. And obviously tell your friends and family. If you have Dodger fans you know who might be interested, tell them about us. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number, if you want to leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye.